Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. With a rapidly aging population, the traditional image of a frightened little old cat lady is gradually shifting to one of strength and cunning. Witness the new TV shows like Matlock. So this week, I'm looking at two new movies about tough older women and one about a cat. There's an opera diva in Paris preparing her swan song, a Rust Belt widow who wants to go out with a bang, and a cat on a sailboat in a world covered in water. Maria, directed by Pablo Larraine. It's 1977 in Paris, and Maria Callas, played by Angelina Jolie, one of the greatest divas in history of opera, is not doing well. She rarely eats, often never leaving the bedroom of her palatial apartments for days at a time. She rarely speaks with anyone anymore aside from her servants. She runs her butler ragged, played by Pier Francesco Favino, in a red monkey suit, and she relies on her cook, played by Alba Rohrwacher, for judgment on the quality of her vocal cords. But she's not completely alone. She is seeing a pianist for his unvarnished opinion on whether her legendary voice has returned. And she has agreed to an unheard of interview with a young journalist named Mandrax, played by Cody Smith McPhee. But Maria faces a number of problems. She refuses to see a doctor despite her rapidly declining health, and she won't stop popping quaaludes, leading to frequent hallucinations and delusions. Can her devoted servant save her life, or is this the end? Maria is a biopic about the death of a legendary Greek-American diva. The movie begins with her demise at age 53, then goes back in time to show what led up to it. This includes flashbacks to her chubby adolescence in German-occupied Athens in World War II, her failed marriage, and the peak of her career, including trysts with Onassis and JFK. But is this biopic any good? I have very mixed feelings about it. I love the beautifully shot interiors, the ostentatious costumes, and the amazing arias provided by recordings of Callas herself. Italian actors Rohrwacher and Favino as the servants provide wonderfully painful performances. And as the latest in a series of films about famous women by Chilean director Pablo Larraine, it has good pedigree, especially Spencer with Kristen Stewart as Princess Di. But this movie depends completely on Angelina Jolie, and she doesn't carry it off. She always seems to be acting. I don't see Maria Callas here. I see Angelina Jolie posing for the cameras with a haughty face here and a dramatic gesture there. So you rapidly lose sympathy with the main character. Perhaps Maria Callas really did act like that, even behind closed doors, but Jolie plays her somewhere between high camp and kitsch. Maria is never boring. It's just a bit embarrassing. Flow, co-written and directed by Gintz Zilbalodis. It's sometime in the future, somewhere in the world. A small gray cat with golden eyes and pointy ears is enjoying a walk in the woods. It lives by an abandoned old house surrounded by enormous cat statues. The cat is very shy and fears most of all a pack of feral dogs. Suddenly, though, there's a stampede of animals running in one direction full speed. They're trying to escape or avoid a massive flood sweeping away everything in its path. But Cat and a friendly white dog are among its victims. Survival instinct kicks in, and eventually the cat manages to climb on board a tattered sailboat. There, Cat discovers a gentle, sloth-like capybara already on board. Other animals make their way onto the sailboat, including an ingenious lemur, and the big white dog, and a majestic-looking phoenix. Together, they form an uneasy friendship as they brave a dangerous water-covered world. but can they learn to get along, and is this world worth living in? Flow is a brilliantly animated film about a picaresque journey by a mismatched troupe of animals. It's tender, heartwarming, and lovely to watch. It's all about friendship and cooperation learned by animals living in a gently hostile world. And though they behave like a little bit like humans, there are no people in this story and no dialogue either, just the grunts, meows, and barks you'd expect. Dogs still want to fetch. Cats still want to catch fish. And though it's post-apocalyptic, there is nothing futuristic in the film. Human technology is limited to ancient abandoned cities, glass bottles, and sailboats. No cars or smartphones here. The science fiction kicks in with its universality, where animals from different continents, along with some mythical beasts, like sea monsters, can randomly encounter and learn from one another. I just saw Flow just now, and I already want to watch it again. Flow is Latvia's Oscar submission for Best International Film. The G, written and directed by Carl R. Hearn. It's a Rust Belt city somewhere in North America. Anne Hunter, played by Dale Dickey, is a tough cookie in her 70s who's feeling depressed. You can see it in every wrinkle on her face. She lives with her ailing husband in their fully owned condo. He was once a tough guy, but is rapidly sliding into immobility and dementia. She grudgingly takes care of him and drowns her sorrows in rot-gut alcohol straight from the bottle. Aside from him, she only spends time with Emma, her step-granddaughter, played by Romain Denis. Emma models her life on the G, as she calls her grandmother, someone who doesn't take crap from anyone. The G also helps her out financially and doles out hard-boiled words of wisdom. But everything changes when a man in a suit named Rivera, played by Bruce Ramsey, out of the blue breaks down the G's front door, accompanied by two toughs. Matt, played by Joey Scarpellino, a handsome but simple-minded caretaker, and Ralph, a psychopath with bleach blonde hair, played by Jonathan Kongskin. Together, they violently shove Anne and her husband into a van, and they wind up locked in a threadbare room without a phone in a nursing home that feels more like a prison. "This is your new home," Rivera says, "and there's nothing you can do to stop me." He's now their legal guardian and has the documents to prove it. The doctor, a silent partner in the scam, has declared them both incompetent. No one's allowed to go in and out for the first month. He roughs up her husband to try to find the proverbial pot of gold he thinks they're hiding. But they underestimate the G, her stubbornness, and her shady connections back in Texas. Meanwhile, Emma is shocked when they suddenly disappear, leaving behind just a torn-up home. She scours the city to find them and makes friends with a caretaker who works at the home, who happens to be Matt, the friendly thug. It's too late to save her grandpa, but she vows to get the G out of there. And even while Emma's trying to free her, the G has vowed vengeance on all her enemies, and she's not messing around. Who can they trust? And can two women best a criminal organization, or will they both end up buried alive? The G is a great revenge thriller about the very real phenomenon of organized criminals attacking and abusing the elderly. It's dark and disturbing. Dale Dickey blows this movie out of the water, supported by a great Quebecois cast. It's all shot in Montreal. So if you're looking for a gratifyingly violent revenge flick, this is the one to see. Maria and Flo are now playing at the TIFF Lightbox, with Maria streaming on Mubi on December 11th, and the G is screening across Canada right now. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.